everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up, your conservative talk. We have a great show for you tonight, but first, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I ran solo last week, and I'm kind of proud of the show I did, so check it out. Before I go on, you can check out this podcast, Fired Up, as well as our other podcasts, including our sports and our libertarian podcast at grumblingsmedia.com. Do not forget to like, share, and subscribe to Fired Up. So let's get to it. We are going to be talking about the SCOTUS case that is currently at, the transgender case that is currently at SCOTUS. It's an LW versus Scarametti. And we've got a great guest tonight for that. He's a lawyer. He is the California Republican Party secretary, and his name is Randy Burholtz. Randy, before you introduce yourself there, big hello to Mr. G. Mangani, my regular panelist. He was off last week, so damn that family. Had to take time away from Fired Up. So, G, I hope you had a good time. Randy, welcome aboard. If you can sit there and tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll go from there.
Oh, hey, guys, Dan. Hey, thank you, William. My name is Randy Burholtz, longtime Republican, Secretary of the California GOP. This is my third term, member of the San Diego County Republican Party Central Committee, parliamentarian. I'm a JD MBA. My last gig was as a CEO of a life sciences company, but I'm a corporate and intellectual property attorney. I've also been involved in litigation. And as far as politics goes, I'm just one of those guys who, somebody described politics as my hobby. My wife wishes that, it would bring in more money, but that would probably take out some of the fun for it. But always looking for a good debate. I think, as I mentioned, my daughter and I, had our own podcast a while back, and, love talking about the issues, and thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. As I told you off camera on the phone earlier today, we are going to rely on your legal expertise. I've written a couple of articles on SCOTUS cases, and they were overly long. They're just tough to do when you're a layman and trying to bring all those technical and legal terms into layman terms. So we look forward to your interpretation. And first of all, I wanted to start with the cash review. Now, for those of you who don't understand or don't know, the cash review, she is a pediatrician from the UK, one of their most highly respected pediatricians. And she was tasked with reviewing the process that physicians were making to begin the transition. And what ended up happening is she discovered it was a lack of reliable evidence. Literally every study, there was not one study she found that was done in the proper scientific proper scientific way, in peer reviewed. It's the whole process. None of it was done for those studies. It was poor quality research. And her conclusion was not, we cannot do transition. She said, we need to stop the current transition and start having clinical trials. Some of the issues she found, they're catastrophic in how they can destroy a child. And the review led to the NHS England's decision to stop prescribing puberty blockers for children and young people with gender dysphoria, again, citing insufficient evidence. The decision aligns with concerns raised by many people, from the common layman to other physicians, to physicians on the other side. Now, the reason I bring up the cash review, even though it's in UK, it in essence took studies from everywhere. And these studies, they're not limited to the borders across the pond. We can use them here. And many proponents have begun using that. Let's get your thoughts first on the cash review.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you talk about kids, right? And they have to be 21 to vote. I'm sorry, 21 to drink, 18 to vote, 16 to drive, but yet at, 11 years old, they can decide to stop the natural process of their body. I mean, I think it's completely absurd that we allow that we think that they're mature enough to make these decisions. And, they can barely do algebra, but they can figure out that, no, I don't want this part to grow and I need this part cut off, you know, that it's just way too early. If an adult wants to do that, fine. But a child, I think we as a country, the adults need to say, hold on, you need to slow down and figure this out when you're in your 20s.
I agree. Randy, when all this went down, what were your thoughts regarding it? I know as a Republican, it's probably something you were aware of. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah. And let me also mention, and I didn't mention some of my legal background, but I'm a graduate of Yale Law School. I clerked on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals for a judge there, a judge named Jerry Smith. And I've also taught law and specifically biotech and medical law, really, at Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego and also at the University of San Diego. I'm sorry, at the University of San Diego and then also at a couple of business schools. So, you know, look, on the one hand, I'm happy that some brave, you know, clinicians stood up and said, hey, this is garbage. The science is garbage. And what we're doing to young people is just terrible. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, over the last 4 to 6, 8 years, you know, a lot of our institutions, you know, have been overrun by radical progressives, you know, that's, you know, with a very defined transgender agenda. And so, you know, and I was, you know, I have a British wife. And so, We're always talking about how Britain is seemingly taken over also, but I'm honestly proud of scientists who stand up and say, the science isn't there, the data's not there, you know, and as you guys have said, what we're asking of young people here, you know, is just horrific. I mean, you know, I applaud Dr. Cass, very brave. I'm sure she's taken a lot of heat in Britain.
Yes, she has taken a lot of heat. I don't have it in the notes that I passed out, but I was doing research on her, and she hasn't backed down. She's kind of massaged it a bit to go, look, I'm not saying do not transition. I'm saying we have to take a pause here, stop this, and figure out what the ramifications are. And when, you know, I've got this image up, and you know, puberty blockers offer no obvious benefit. Debate toxicity, you know, the research is obviously polarized as she's had to deal with, but she also talks about mental health issues not taken into account, no good evidence on outcomes of gender and interventions. So she knew the heat was going to come on. Now for our side, meaning those of us and the issue with our side is there are some who do not believe in this at all. I am more, I guess, socially liberal, where I'm like, if you're 18, it's a free country. If you want to make these decisions, that's fine. But we were seeing, as she came across it in her report, that some of these children were going through one or two meetings with their pediatrician, or even one, and the pediatrician was telling the parent, your child is suicidal. They can't be saved unless you transition, or we know who and what they are. They need to be transitioned. And on one of the research topics, in fact, I believe I sent you to the video, there was an individual from the LGB, not the LGBT, but the LGB, and her issue was they are telling children who may or may not be gay that you're in the wrong body. And she goes, there's a difference between a transgender and somebody who's gay. But some of the potential downsides they have found in this is bone health that halts the natural increase of bone density. And I guess if you look at it, it's common sense. You know, we are growing as children. Puberty blockers stop the transition of puberty, thus the bone density. Obviously, fertility, there's mental and cognitive development with the brain still growing. There's physical growth issues, and they don't really know the long-term effects. It's kind of like steroids. I was a workout guy in the 80s. I'm reading about steroids, this or this. I just logically knew chemicals in the body are not a good thing, and I stayed away from it. Now they know some of the issues, but even then, there's some steroids they still don't know. Then there's obviously the ethical concerns I just pointed out, doctors abusing their privilege they've been given, being seen as experts and doctors, and obviously our society has been going through this over medicalization. Gee, your thoughts on some of these negative downturn, these effects, when you saw them?
Yeah, I mean, I look at that and I say, okay, the adults are susceptible to groupthink, right? So an adult like me, I'm in my 50s, I hear a quote.
You look good for your 50s.
Thank you. they hear an expert says, oh, don't worry, there's no problem here. And then most adults, I would say 90% of them, will say consensus says it's okay. So then how much more a child trusting an adult, right? I mean, we worry about little children saying, hey, if a stranger says, I know your mommy and daddy, hold my hand, I'll take you somewhere safe. You tell them, don't trust that person because their natural inclination is to trust, right? So now you talk about a preteen person and they're trusting that the adults around them or the adults that have this medical expertise have done their homework and don't have an agenda and are saying this is safe. And obviously we don't know that it's safe, especially when you're taking it at that age. When you're an adult, maybe it's a little more proven, but when you're starting to block your natural body processes at 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, that's alarming to me that our country has gone down that road. And I'm not surprised that to see that the recent election showed that some people are sick and tired of this.
That is true. That is true. Randy, when you see some of these issues, and they're not really debatable. The thing about her study here, she went through the proper our producer, Big John's a scientist, actually. I forget the term. But she went through the proper process, the proper steps. It was peer-reviewed. She went through the testing. So it's pretty much a study that cannot really be attacked. So when you see these, and I like your take, but I'd also like your take from the ethical concerns / maybe the legal perspective. We're going to get into that with SCOTUS. But when you see this, do you see, like, hey, man, there's some legal issues here?
We got a bunch of legal issues here. But look, you know, what we do in the law is we try to take an example of one area and apply it to another area, right? But what's really damning here and what I find unconscionable sometimes, and if you look at one of the groups actually filing, I think the plaintiffs group filing these Supreme Court cases actually from my law school, Yale Law School, and I'll just be honest with you, I think one of you guys mentioned groupthink. There is so much groupthink out there that people say follow the science, and then they don't follow the science. They forget what the scientific method is all about. So from a bioethical standpoint, we have a lot of issues going on. The big issue I think here is young people, right? Is forcing upon them, and it really is forcing upon them because we in the law have clearly stated in case law throughout, the 250 years of our country that a child cannot form the intent to do something like this, and the problem is if a child can't do it, why should why should we give, if you think about it, what's typically the outcome of this is that a child can't have children, right? So we're essentially taking away the ability of a child to have children. But you introduced me to the 15-minute piece today, which I thought was just fascinating where the one representative from a lesbian and bi and gay group said, hey, look, what this is even doing too is this is essentially eradicating certain types of gay people and saying, well, if you feel sort of gay type feelings, well, something must be wrong and you need to transition. I just find, from an ethical and a moral standpoint, shame on adults who are pushing this on children. As you guys have said, look, I'm fairly socially liberal on a lot of stuff. If they want to do this and they have, informed consent. I mean, there's this concept in the law called informed consent. And, you know, we make people going through clinical trials in actually, you know, sign documents and saying they have informed consent, you know, to experimental treatments. A child cannot give informed consent. A child doesn't have that capability. And an adult should really not have that ability unless it's an emergency situation to do that on behalf of a child. So,
you know, Randy, you bring up a good point. Culturally speaking, as a Latino, I remember my mother, and I've seen this trend with a lot of Latinos. We look up to authority figures as gospel, God sent, whatever you call it. They're the experts. When that doctor speaks, we believe them. And I was listening and doing my research. I stumbled upon the workout queen, Jillian or Jillian Michaels, I think is her name.
Jillian Michaels.
Yes. And she talked about, she had Michael Schellenberger, they were talking about this, and there was a case where the parents didn't know what to do. And the doctor came out after like one or two meetings, said your daughter or your son needs to transition. And the son and the father's like, well, hold on here. What do I do? He researched it. He debunked it in his mind based off the research. He says, well, she's speaking nonsense here. This is not proven based off of this data I found. So they were self-informed. And the reason I brought up my culture is how many people like my parents would my parents would never have had that nonsense. I mean, talking lesbian transitioning in the Latino culture, we are still decades behind where America is socially speaking. But my point is that how many parents are listening to these so-called experts. And and the main issue here is the puberty blockers. That's my main issue is even logically speaking, you're like, well, hold on, you go through puberty. You have to go through uninterrupted. Anything stops, it's not like 5 years later, what if you have the puberty blockers and puberty is going to restart? No, it's not. Right. There's a time frame, biologically speaking. What are your thoughts? I'm sorry, Randy, I think you wanted to say something there.
I'm okay. No, please.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So, G, what are your thoughts? And I don't want to spend too much time on the CASH review and take away from the SCOTUS review, but what are your thoughts on the main thrust of all this transitioning being the middle ground? Because I disagree with President-elect Trump. He was like, well, you got the puberty blockers. I think he went to that as a fallback, finding that middle ground. I don't know if he believes it or not, but a lot of people politically were using puberty blockers as that middle ground. And I was like, are you crazy? There is no middle ground here with a child.
I couldn't imagine, because I've never been in this situation, where I go to the doctor with my kid and the doctor says, well, this is what your kid needs to do. I don't know if that's done in front of the kid, but now you've just put a divisive issue between me and my child, right? Because my child's saying, you don't know anything, Dad. The doctor knows better. And the doctor is just following some protocol that's been given to them. I had a thyroid tumor, and my doctor wanted to take out the whole thyroid. And I said, why not just take out half? And he goes, well, the studies say you need to take out the whole thing. And I said, no, you're going to take out half. World-renowned surgeon. And I was questioned as to why I'm questioning the surgeon on this issue.
Yes.
And when he did the pathology after taking it out, turned out that it was not malignant. I was correct, and he admitted that afterwards, and it's a good call. So doctors are not experts. They're given basically a guidebook to say, okay, well, if this, this, and this, then prescribe this, and that then, you know, a child's future, entire future, is on the line because the parents are sitting there going, how am I going to go home and argue with my kid over this one? Because they're in middle school, and middle school kids are kind of difficult.
Yeah. I don't know, Randy. I always use the silly little argument there. You know, hey, my child wants to be a pirate. Poke his eye out, chop that leg off, and call him Peggy moving forward. Arrgh, you know? It's like they're kids. Yeah. They're not formulated. What are your thoughts on the policy of puberty blockers there?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, one of the problems with government and one of the problems with medicine sometimes is nothing should interfere with the parent-child relationship. Nothing. The most sacred relationship we have, the most fundamental and the strongest relationship in society is that of a parent and a child. Nothing should come before that. And anybody who wants to get in the way of that needs to be whacked and I mean, what are we whacked out of the way? That's one of our problems. We have so many middle people in here telling us what they think we should do. And look, you know, as far as doctors, you know, doctors aren't perfect, you know, and, you know, look, getting an MD doesn't make you, a superior being. You know, you are just a practitioner of that medical art. And there are a lot of different practitioners of medical arts. But I think what's scary as a society here, and this happened after COVID, and always remember the SOBs who took advantage of us during COVID. You saw them marching in the streets with their friggin' masks on and everything else. Never forget those Antifa bastards, pardon my French. But at the same time, we've had to deal with the same type of just leftist nut jobs in the universities and now in the medical schools. And this transgender ideology is nuts. They're crazy. You know, when you have gay people talking about the transgender group as being whack jobs, you know something is up, right? But the radical transgender crowd, we really, really have to be afraid, because a lot of major institutions like Yale Law School, Harvard, and medical schools, you know, academic institutions, they really are taken over. You know, I don't know how else to describe it, but it really is a takeover by the ultimate left. But anything, I just want to just reiterate, though, this, you know, I know in the 15-minute example, you know, which you sent to me today, well, I guess in the Supreme Court a brief, I think one of the Supreme Court justices tries to say, well, this is sort of like interracial marriage. What? How the hell is this interracial marriage? This is essentially taking away, taking away a birth, a birth process right now, changing that, which is the most fundamental thing. But just, let's go back to the point, though. These kids, to my knowledge, cannot have kids. That, to me, is a fundamental issue that no parent should ever force upon their child, ever. Sorry.
Right. No, I agree. And I think you said it with the best way to say it. Something is up. When you said that, I thought of Tony Hinchcliffe and his Puerto Rico comment at the Trump rally. Yeah. And, how it took John Stewart for the left to realize, or for some people on the left to go, well, maybe I made that an overblown issue. Because it took somebody from their side. And I view this, a lot of these gay groups, national groups coming out and saying these similar things. It's like, well, don't believe us. Look at one of your allies in the ideological battle. So those are massive red flags. Before we go to the SCOTUS, I want to talk about, the cash review did get pushback. And it faced harsh criticism from Randy's alma mater there, Yale Law School, Yale School of Medicine professors. It argued that the CAHPS review contains serious flaws, misrepresents data, and makes unsupported assertions about gender identity and gender-affirming care. Now, what they didn't tell you about the people behind the Yale affiliated report is that it was not peer-reviewed. It was published online, thus bypassing that complete process. And some of the authors of the Yale report have conflicts of interest, meaning they're getting paid by some of these other organizations. And not to mention, Big Pharma is making tens and tens of millions. And my last comment before I get to you two I'm a child of the 80s. People do not realize. They quickly forget. History revises itself. We got HMOs and PPOs because of the greed of doctors of the 80s, buying medical equipment, sending patients to do tests, pretty much rigging the system. So insurance companies. So, and my point to say that is, as Randy said earlier, doctors are not above anybody. They are, human nature corrupts us all. And I think we are seeing that. Now, Randy, I apologize. Go ahead.
I mean, look, I've written articles and spoken about vaccinations, for example, in the vaccine world, the vaccine makers, they're so confident in their vaccines that they lobbied Congress to actually have limitations of liability. So what I say to any doctor or any parent out there, you do this to your children, you should have no limitation on your liability. If you do this to your child or do this to someone else's child, you should have full 100% liability against your assets because you're making stupid decisions here. And you know, there is an agenda. And look, I don't know if this is Soros or you know, what groups are making it, but guys, I mean, look, and I think everybody here on the phone probably, you know, grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s or that. We didn't have this stuff before. Why is it an issue now? Why is it forth now? Why do we want to have, you know, many types of gender now? Why is it an issue now? Right? You know, and the only reason it's an issue now is because some group thinks that it's going to benefit. And William, you are 100% right. You got to look at the conflicts of interest out there all the time here.
Human nature. G, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on a point that Randy made in terms of taking away their ability to reproduce, right? If you control the language, you control the people, and you control the issue. So in this case, they call it transitioning. But I wonder if people's minds would be changed if you, instead of calling it transitioning children, call it sterilizing children.
Exactly. Mutilation.
Mm-hmm. Sterilizing. Or mutilation. Yeah, and then I wonder if people have a different mindset about it because you're doing exactly the same thing, but you just call it something different.
We need to control and I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt here, but guys, you guys are right on. We need to control the language. And I'm so sick to death of, you know, look, I've, I'm in some groups where they still use pronouns, you know, oh, I'm, where the hell did that come from, right? Right? And you know what? And it's like, why the hell should we change? And this is one area where there, the other side is just wrong and the harm. You know, what you do in the law, you know, what the Supreme Court justices are weighing a lot is a balance of interest, right? That's what you look at, you know, the, you know, balance versus, you know, the pro and balance versus the con. I don't see much pro here. You know, if the only thing on the pro side is mental health, people can get counseling for mental health, you know, and I'm still not convinced that this is not a mental health issue. You know, I'm still not convinced that this is not a mental health issue. I think that needs to be looked at. You know, on that 15-minute broadcast you had us look at today, William, you know, they mentioned, you know, the number of kids in, you know, who are transitioning who actually have autism. Right. So, you know, we may not just be having a situation where parents and doctors are taking advantage of children. They may be taking advantage of impaired children, of mentally impaired children. And look, every parent, I hope every parent wants the best for their child. And as you guys mentioned, you know, when somebody comes in, you know, and comes in between, you know, this parent and child bond, you know, I just think that's terrible. So
I agree. And I was looking it up as you two were talking because I saved it. It's like I did so much research on this. Why the hell did you save it? The one of the preeminent doctors that does not believe in a long-term study is needed to detransition, she's being sued by somebody who detransitioned. And all the points we talked about, she's bringing up. You were saying I was ready for this, yet you didn't do any tests. You said this is what happened. So the first of many lawsuits, and my issue, again, is you're 18, it's a free country, I don't think you should, but you can do what you want. The downside is, as both of you have stated, a child does not have that capacity, and we are acting as if they do, as G, you pointed out, certain age requirements. So the cash review essentially says we need to tread carefully, you know, and the UK decided to pause this until more studies are done. So the only transitioning that is happening in the UK are clinical studies. Even then, I think that's too much because of the downside. But at least they put a pause, and I think that will eventually happen. And which takes us over to Tennessee's heroic stand, in my eyes, saving kids from progressives' life-destroying agenda. All for power, corruption, and votes. So this case is called LW versus Scarametti. LW is a pseudonym for the individual, and the Supreme Court this past week heard arguments on Tennessee's ban on puberty blockers and hormone therapy. And the court's conservative majority appears poised to uphold the law, raising significant implications for the current rights that transgenders have to medical access and states' rights. And I think what the conservative court is saying is, this is a state's issue. You know, it's very deep, very convoluted. We believe this belongs to the state. That's how I see it so far in my overview. Gee, how do you see that? And I want to get Randy's legal mind in here to interpret it.
Yeah, I mean, I need to listen a little more here, so I'll punch it over to Randy. Yeah.
Okay, so Randy, this case is raising concerns about legislatures, not judges, should decide the complexity of some of these medical issues. Justice Kavanaugh kind of stated that, and they are emphasizing just the complexity. How do you see this case?
Well, you know, one of the problems with the Supreme Court sometimes, especially Justice Kavanaugh, and I'll be honest, I went to school with Brent, so you know, he was in my class at Yale, and I wrote a couple letters of recommendation for him, you know, so but at the same time, you know, I just want to say to these guys in the court, quit being pussies, decide a damn case, quit punting sometimes. But look, yeah. You bring up a couple of things, right? One is the federal, you know, federalism, you know, sort of the federal power or the state power. You know, I think the way our government really was made to be is, you know, this should be a, you know, like abortion, this should be a decision which should be, you know, which the states should, you know, should deal with. And so secondly, then courts versus legislature, courts do have the ability to come in and to make decisions, but what courts aren't good at is doing the background research, right? I was a judicial clerk for a judge on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in Houston, and so, you know, so that court was one above the district court, so it's all appeals. So the problem is with courts, you decide issues, and you decide issues, you look at what the plaintiff says and what the defendant says and nothing else typically, and you make a decision based on that. What a legislature can do, though, is a legislature can work with an executive branch to go out and to do the necessary research, which is, you know, which is important here. You know, for example, you know, something like this should be should probably be decided by the equivalent of a state Health and Human Services Department, right? And, you know, something where there is background, you know, background research done, studies done. And will the states differ here? Yes, they will. But at the same time, you know, a state gets to decide what it wants to do, what its people want to do. And what's great about our system, and a lot of people complain sometimes, but what we're good at in America is government, in that we have fairly decent states that can make decisions, right? So, and what's good about it, though, too, is, you know, in that a decision should only go to the Supreme Court if there is a disagreement amongst the state circuit courts, right? So that's typically how we do it. So does that answer your question? I'm sorry.
Yes. So, Randy, though, what about the challengers are arguing that the law violates the constitutional equal protection. Can you please put that in layman terms for us? What's the other side saying?
Yeah. So my understanding, just, you know, just from the notes you have, and just you know, my basic, you know, legal background, you know, an equal protection clause, you know, an equal protection argument says that the law is not provided equal, you know, is not provided equally to like persons, right?
Gotcha.
So what, you know, what the lawyers for Yale Law School and Yale School of Medicine are saying is that, you know, is that this group of transgender, you know, transgender students, patients, you know, will not be will not be able to utilize these special medical procedures because they are transgender, right? Which is a little bit of a circular argument because I don't know who else would want to use these, you know, these trans, I don't know who else would want to use, you know, these type of surgical procedures.
Yeah. Right. It seems like a reach to me in terms of what they're saying. I get it now in terms of how you explained it. Gee, your thoughts before we I ask Randy our next question here.
No, I mean, it helped to hear Randy's explanation of it. I'm torn because we do have national laws in terms of drinking, in terms of joining the military to protect youth, right, from lifelong altering decisions. So in this case, you know, this is more, it's punted back to the state. If this continues along its trajectory, and I'm okay with that, but I think maybe we should have a federal ban on doing this because, again, like the arguments I made before, the science is not totally clear on the lifelong effects, and children are not mature enough to make these decisions. And I don't think that let's say California, that our assembly members, and I know some of them, and they're just regular people making the best decision they can. They can't decide that for all the children here and say, oh yeah, well, we'll make it legal for you to do that.
Right. Randy, a question regarding the cash review. It seems like they're not arguing anything to do with the children as much as they're arguing here the constitutionality of their rights. You know, how does the cash review play into this? Because she's right and you're right. We're all right in our belief. And the cash review, peer study, properly done, says we don't know the long terms. These doctors are not following their ethical morality or whatever the term you want to give in terms of the type of advice they're given. We know Big Pharma is putting a lot of money into this, and we know these doctors are profiting off this as shown by the Yale Review there. So is the cash review, does that even matter, or is this just a technicality here?
Well, I think it does matter because if you look at the base – the real point here, the real point though is the importance of access to gender affirming care for the well-being of transgender youth. The CAS report is saying we don't find evidence that supports that this is promoting the well-being of these transgender adolescents. That's what they're saying. And the plaintiffs in this case, you know, the families plus Yale, you know, law school and medical school, they're saying, no, it's a given that this is going to help. And I think the defendants are saying is that, you know, the claims about protecting minors from irreversible medical decisions is not, you know, it's not decided upon. And, you know, and look, when it comes down to it, you know, a consumer, a parent, you know, and an adolescent, you know, you have to get at the, you know, you have to get at the overwhelming, you know, you have to get the reason why you would do this. You would, you know, a parent would do it if they thought this was in the medical best, the long-term medical best interest of the child. And the CAS report says, hold on. We don't think the studies that have been done have been peer reviewed. We don't think they have filed, you know, that they had followed typical clinical trial, you know, regimes here. And so they're saying this isn't decided yet. The plaintiffs here are thinking that it is decided. And I think the defendants in the Supreme Court case are correct in saying, no way, it's not decided. And I mean, because look, you know, what's the ailment, right? You know, doctors take this, you know, Hippocratic oath, do no harm. That's the oath that they take, do no harm. And I don't know if anybody has seen, you know, television presenters where they look like they're some person that you don't even know with the eyes and the cheeks and everything else and the lips, you know, and everything else done. Mm-hmm. But it's really an issue. do no harm. And is, and it comes down to it, no matter what anybody says, is, what's the condition? Is the condition a mental health condition? Is it truly a physical condition? Because it's not. Truth is, it's not a physical condition. You're born with the sex that you have. And the truth is, you're either mentally in tune with that, or you're not. And the go ahead.
No, I said that was brought up again with in the Jillian Michaels interview she did at Michael Schellenberger, that you can cut off your breasts, you can cut off your penis, you can change this, but you're still a man and you're still a woman, talking about the chromosomes and the DNA. Gee, real quick here, I don't want to get too political, but this does bug me. This does bug me here. Ketanji Brown Jackson. I'm not a biologist. I can't define what a woman is. And who the hell are you to even? You should have been recusing yourself on this case here. I mean, as silly as that sounds, that was her answer. So shouldn't she be recusing herself here?
Yeah, I mean, I think if she's talking opinion, her opinion instead of like following the law, I mean that's. And equating that to racial discrimination, that's absurd. Totally absurd.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just watching some videos today about, you know, we couldn't come across the finish line for the first woman president. This might be a bad joke, but we might have had a first woman president already. I'll let you decide which one of her former presidents was the first woman president, because maybe they identify as one. So I'll just leave it at that.
You know what? That could apply to the first FBI director, Edgar J. Hoover. So actually, in looking at my notes, I forgot about this, but Justice Alito did note European skepticism about the benefits of gender affirming care. And to me, there's only one report that does that and does it in depth. It is the Cash Report. So let's get to Justice Jackson. Maybe I shouldn't pull that down so fast, but not letting toddlers get their genitals cut off is just like racial discrimination. You know, she likened this case to Loving versus Virginia case on interracial marriage. I don't remember the case number or what it was called, but I do remember reading about that. And even as a child, that boggled my mind. It's like, oh my God, they didn't allow people to get married? Because my Panamanian family, boy, we're all white, black, whatever. You know, so that was alien to me. Legally speaking, Randy, how far off is this? You kind of alluded to this already. If you could just repeat.
She is, pardon my French or anything I say, she's in cuckoo land. That woman is totally nuts. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Let's get down to it, as we said. For a male, they're going to chop off their penis. They're going to give them sexual, you know, drugs that essentially cannot turn them into a female. They can't. They cannot turn that child into somebody who can have a baby, period. They can't do that. What they will do is they will chop off that person's penis. They will give these hormones which will make them more female-like. And what they will do is they will never allow them to have children. That's truly what it is. And the court, whoever, the parent, the doctors have to weigh that versus a child feeling like they don't fit in their body. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, guys, look, you know, how many of you are always happy about your body? And it sounds like you guys have, you know, exercised and, you know, lifted weights and everything else. We're always working on our damn bodies, right? You know, and there are so many ways to improve your mental health. There are so many ways to, you know, to either accept who you are, or, you know, or if you want to be gay, that's fine, you know. But I think people have to understand, you know, I liken this to drug addiction, right? Some people think, well, let's legalize all these drugs and everything else, and then when you're an addict, you'll go to you'll go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you'll be better. The truth of the matter is, you won't.
Right. You know, an addict,
you're not going to be better. You're going to be somebody who is going to be. You're still probably going to be confused. You know, you're going to be confused without your penis. And you're going to be confused without your ability to have children. I think at that point, any parent that makes a decision for their child, I think we should allow kids to sue their parents and to sue those doctors, you know, either way on this one. But if you think about it, what's worse? A child not being able to have children and going through the pain. And let's phrase it, they're going to chop off somebody's, you know, thing here. You know what I mean? So, but let's just think about it. There's a lot of pain. You're comparing that versus the mental pain. Well, I don't really think that, you know, I'm this sex. Really? Come on, man. So, but anyway.
Well, yeah, that. Especially with a child. You know, another tale to be told is somebody posted online the story of their kid. They said, our little boy wanted to be a girl. Instead of running to our therapist and starting the transitioning, we sat down and talked to him. It turned out he wanted to be a girl because he saw his older sister getting more attention and yes. felt if he'd been a girl, he'd get that attention. So I am very simplifying it, but I've also met some dumb parents out there. I'm not the smartest guy, but I've met some people out there, and anecdotally speaking, God bless you, you're a parent, but that's just a dumbass decision.
But let's just be honest. The number one thing, no, we do not have the medical ability to make a boy a girl or a girl a boy. It does not exist. That technology does not exist. We do not have
Randy,
that.
You're right. No, you're right. Yeah. But yet there are people on social media who go, I just had my first period. Or I just started breastfeeding. You know, I just – and I'm like thinking – and I don't dig deep into that because we haven't had a topic or anything on that yet. But I'm just logic. I'm like, where's the milk coming from? Somebody posted, you're going to feed a newborn all those chemicals? That's what you call good parenting? Yeah. So real quick, G, Justice Thomas, thank God for Justice Thomas. And poor Justice Thomas, from day one with Joe Biden playing the race card on him, you know, at the hearings to become a SCOTUS member, he pushed back. He goes, enough of this nonsense. He criticized her for focusing on historical racial issues, her dissent in affirmative action cases is seen as inflammatory and divisive by him. And in essence, he stuck up for, as Randy said, no, you're not going to play this nonsense. Now, before you get your comment, I think what Miss Ketanji Brown Jackson here doesn't understand is we just had an election that kind of says we don't believe that crap. We don't buy it anymore. We're moving ahead. But she has her master she has the answer to, and that is the Democratic ideology. And for those of you who get mad at me saying masters, go screw yourself. I would use the same – I use the term for politicians all the time with their donor masters. So, G, your thoughts.
Well, racial issues, that was about someone's equal rights being taken away because of their skin color. So that obviously needed to be corrected. But here you're harming children. Whether they think that is to their own benefit or whatnot, but it's harming. And you know, if I was found to be giving my children dog food for dinner, I would probably be called or paid a visit by the CPS, going, "We heard you're not treating your children right, right?" And that's just dog food. I mean, that's like they could eat a year of that and still be okay. But this thing. I'm not feeding my children dog food, just for the record.
You heard it here. You heard it here. Feed the kids dog food.
But I can make a racial joke here, but I won't. I'm paying attention.
As an example, something that's reversible, but yet is still considered abuse. But now, like we've said multiple times, we can chop off body parts and irreversibly harm these children, and we're considered kind, compassionate, woke parents. It's just wrong. So thank God Justice Thomas stood up and said, no, these are not equivalent, and I'm not going to let you make that argument.
Right. No, yeah, I agree.
Justice Thomas.
I guess I don't get depressed literally, but metaphorically, I do get depressed at the fact whatever happened to compromise, you know, and puberty blockers were seen as a compromise, but I never saw that as a compromise. I saw that as excuse to be able to ride the middle ground. Because to me, it's like, as G said, you know, we 18 to vote, 18 to serve, unless you're 17 and you get permission by your parents in certain cases. But that's, you know, you're obviously on the verge of becoming 18 and you need permission by your parents, but you turn 18 once your service time begins. 21 to drink, 21 to smoke in certain states. and we are trying to convince society. There was a it looked like a male, I'm not gonna lie, it looked like a feministic male on MSNBC just the other day. Had his little beard, that, and then as soon as I heard the voice, I'm like, oh, there's a transition person. He was sitting there at MSNBC and the host of the show, I get it. And he was saying a 2-year-old knows if they're transgender. And I'm like, where have we gone? Where you have somebody on your show, you know, anyway, I'm starting to rant here. G, give me your final words, and then Randy, give me your final words on this from the perspective, Randy, though, in states' rights versus federal overreach here in terms of how some people are trying to play this one. But G,
my final thoughts are just, children are children, and the Star Trek episode where the children were running the planet because the adults died, and it was a very dysfunctional society.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, remember that one, the Grumps?
Yeah.
And children need adults who, primarily their parents, to tell them, no, now wait until you're mature enough, and then you can decide on your own. Again, this whole discussion has not been about what an adult can do. It's all about what children can or should be able to do. And this is just no for the children.
So Randy, I wanted you to give your legal answer, but as a parent also, what do you think when what goes through your mind when you see these other parents going, okay, I'm down for that. Let's begin the transition. So your thoughts legally and then as a father.
Yes. With the Supreme Court decision, to me, these should be decided by the states where they do the background, you know, research and the like, and you know, and they really uphold the will of the states. Unfortunately, guys, you know, California, you know, I'm going to be in a weird state where they do some weird freaking things, you know, but look, as a parent, you know, a parent just has to take a step back and, you know, look, the best parents in the world are not those who always say yes to their kids. You know, and you know, if your kid loves you all the time, then you're probably not doing it right, right? You know,
right.
But at the same time, you know, when an adult or a group of adults gets in the way of a child, or a school gets in the way of the child and parent relationship, that is creep like we've never seen creep before. If they can do this here, they can do it for so many things. We need to stop this right now. Legally, it's not legal. Their arguments are not valid. Their science is bogus. It's sort of like climate change a little bit. They take one issue and they try to say, wow, the world hates transgenders. We are the party of transgender rights. Just like they tried to have the war on the women. The war, you know, the war against transgenders, and these are war, and the war against the planet. These are wars nobody's fighting. They're making it up because they can't come after us about anything else. We need to be strong, and the worst Republicans and conservatives are those who give in. And I tell you, I deal with it in my own party, and you know, I dealt with it on the issue of election integrity. I've been telling people for years. The laws are screwed up in this state. We're losing, and I know it's not happening because of the vote. And I told people
right.
5 years ago, and I was right. And I was 100% right about it. And believe me, we need people to put their foot to be strong here and to fight back against this nonsense. You know, one last thing. Can you imagine what your parents would be thinking about this right now? And a lot of us think, oh, well, you know, we're smarter than our parents. The truth of it is, we're really not. We think we are. We're just, you know, we're just in a different time frame. They would just be slapping people across the head and going, what are you listening to that nonsense for? And it's nonsense, period.
Well, I will say this, though, in terms of, I'm not pushing back as much as a little pushback here.
Yeah.
How many times as we got older or some of the young parents, did we go, oh, my God? I am my father, you know, because
exactly.
You do something and you're like,
exactly.
Oh my God, that's what my father did. Well, yeah. This decision is expected. I put in my notes by summer 2024, but I think it's summer 2025. They're looking at a narrow ruling. The Kagan, or Sotomayor says it's a redirect. We obviously know that Brown's just way out there, doesn't even know what the hell she's reading. And, so you're probably looking at the conservative side. And to your point, Randy, as much as it loathes me, I do say You get what you vote for. And the fact that it's a state's issue and we decide as a people, I can live with that versus this federal law. We are these United States of America, these United States. We are not we're not America, you know, and that means freedom, each state to live the life they want. You don't like it in Alabama, move to California. You don't like it in California, move to Alabama and vice versa. So with that said, my friends, let's move on to our final topic. You know, this has been made very serious by Democrats. How dare Joe Biden betray me? Father of the Year Award. Joe Biden's compassionate clemency for his son who did absolutely nothing wrong ever. But hold on, guys. Hold on. We've got some late-breaking video on Hunter Biden celebrating his pardon. That video has like over 20 million views. The reason I played it is it's a memorable seeing poor Elmo snorting that live on the way across. But what people may not understand is that was a take literally on everything that Hunter has done that has been caught on film, you know, and it's hilarious. So real quick, Joe Biden issued a full and unconditional pardon. It's not that I'm okay with it. I never believed him when he said, I'm not going to pardon my son. My issue was, you're going to pardon your son. It's not that it bothers me. Is I choose for it not to bother me because every president has pardoned unscrupulous characters, including Trump with his father or his son-in-law's father, who was nothing but a notorious criminal, not in the white collar sense. So, but what bothers me, gentlemen, and I'd like your comments here, is the pardon is from January 1st, 2014 to December 1st, 2024. Now, I want to start with Randy. Randy, correct me if I'm wrong, but that means you can't touch him from whatever he did from 2014 on until the pardon. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. But, you know, I'll be honest. I don't know how can a sitting president who's been in since 2020 pardon somebody for crimes that happened before? I don't, you know, I sort of get that. I mean, if you think about it, you know, a lot of these pardons are, you know, the pardon, my understanding, the pardon process started, you know, for somebody who, you know, who was in jail for a long time and, you know, they did something a long time ago, and the president says, well, you know, you're okay now, you know, or we found some evidence, you know, but, you know, so, you know, but look, you know, about pardons overall, though, how the hell can you pardon your son? I mean, talk about conflicts of interest. I mean, that's legal conflicts 101. I mean, seriously?
Oh, but Randy, hold on. You're right. I agree with you, but that's why excuse me, it's not that I find it forgivable, but I'm like, how many donor masters have past presidents pardoned? Meaning the conflict of interest is usually there with these rich people. So I'm not trying to defend Joe Biden as much as it's his family. What did you expect him to do? Gee, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, so Hunter pleaded guilty to some crimes. I'm sure there was going to be more to be discovered. But I think the big hullabaloo is that, and I watched this video of people, news anchors saying, okay, this Trump would just pardon anyone and he's unscrupulous. But Joe Biden, he rises above. He's on a higher plane. He has the moral high ground. He won't ever do this. He's promised not to do this, to pardon his son. So last week, I'm watching this video, and now all of a sudden they're upset because Joe Biden is no longer, you know, holding the moral high ground and saying, okay, if my son committed crimes, he will pay for them just like any other person would do. So the other point I want to make is January 1st, 2014, right? So that was the year he went to Ukraine and was in Ukraine.
That's right.
And the accusation that Trump was digging into and got impeached for. The accusation was that Hunter Biden was selling access to Vice President Joe Biden, and Trump was trying to dig into that to see if that was true. And the Democratic House said, no, you can't do that. That's quid pro quo. You're trying to get information from Zelensky. We're going to impeach you. So the whole thing comes full circle, right? So the third point I want to make is Joe Biden's presidency started with the Hunter Biden laptop, right, in October 2020, which was Russian disinformation, and ends with the Hunter Biden pardon, which I just think is just an amazing set of bookends.
That's a great point, Randy. Now, the Biden camp argues that Hunter was unfairly targeted, and all of the media is defending him by saying, well, the Trump DOJ is going to go after him, the FBI is going to go after him, everybody's going to go after him. Well, if he's so innocent and if all this was disinformation and he had no ties over in Burisma, Ukraine, then no worries. But I can't remember. Gee, what's his name? The guy on CNN, the Republican there. He's phenomenal. He just hired to be the LA Times editorial board. Yeah. He said he comes back to them. You mean like they did towards Donald Trump? Oh, no, that was different. What are your thoughts in Biden and the mainstream media saying, well, he has to do this because they're going to target him? I mean, it's like a preemptive strike. I'm like, huh? It just made no sense. And real quick, the community note, just remind the people, he did say no one is above the law unless you're the Bidens.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting with these preemptive pardons, first of all, I've never heard it before. I mean, you're going to be pardoned for something you do. I've never heard of somebody being preemptively pardoned. To me, that assumes you're guilty. So I think all the things conservatives have been saying, Fauci, I forget his name. Let's face it. There was a conspiracy in 2020. There was a conspiracy. You know, they took way too long for the election results. And J6 was not as bad as everybody said it was. And there was a huge conspiracy there. There just was. You know, I am almost for something like a truth and reconciliation committee at this point. We want to know the truth because I've learned in my political career, trust your gut. If you think something's going on, it's going on no matter what these idiots say. I mean, look where we were four years ago when Donald Trump lost and all the crazy executive orders that came in and all the nonsense that we had to deal with. And now, doesn't it feel so good that we're vindicated? But you know, look, as far as pardons go, the truth is Congress needs to get together and decide what you really want a president to pardon. And, you know, it was originally made for people who were like on death row or something, you know.
Right.
I do think the pardon power has been abused, you know. I mean, but if you think about this. Let's say 2020, you know, the stolen election was true. So what this is saying is somebody can steal an election and then they can have no consequences for that. Hunter Biden can take drugs into the White House and do all these nasty things, have no consequences to them. Fauci can lie to us about the origins of COVID and about the safety of masks and have no consequences to it. Where does that stop? You know, so...
It doesn't until we, the people, wake up and realize just because they have an R by their name does not mean they are on our side. Take the guy, take Patches down in Texas, the ex-SEAL. I mean, he's like nothing to see here with the stock market, even though he's made tens of thousands on it. And then he comes out and lies and says, oh, it's only a couple thousand. Nothing to see. They're power corrupts. And that's why I wish we did have term limits, you know. Yeah. So, gentlemen, gee, any final thoughts before we call it a night here?
No, I mean, I just think it's an interesting. One final thought, actually, Fetterman. I saw him talking to Joy Behar, and I saw the life come out of her eyes as he was saying this. But he was basically making the point. Yeah, Hunter Biden was the DOJ was weaponized against him by Joe Biden's own DOJ, okay. But then he also said, but it happened to Trump as well. So all of this should just be dropped and thrown away. And Joy's like, no, that's different. It's different. Trump's different. And Fetterman's like, no, it's the same. And I appreciate that that honesty from. Now, I don't agree it's the same because Hunter actually did commit crimes. But the point, the larger point of the DOJ being weaponized, that I agree with. It was weaponized, especially against Trump.
Oh, I knew what I was going to say before we close it out is J6, they have discovered that they destroyed a lot of the data. Liz Cheney flat out lied about one witness. I can't remember his name, saying, well, he's nowhere to be found. He came out and said, no, I tried to sit there and go and be heard. They didn't want to hear me. You know, so a lot of these lies regarding J6, I'm like, y'all want to see a revolution? Go to some of these countries I've been to. You want to see a real revolution. Cops opening the door, you know, to let the people in, and Ray Epps there. And I don't know if he's an FBI informant or not, but all the stuff that's not happened to him compared to everybody, and they have him on film rallying up that crowd, things that make you go,
And well, Randy, I have to say, insurrections with fists? That's a pretty weak sauce insurrection.
Oh, my God.
You're not bringing bazookas and tanks?
I mean, in Panama, at least we have our trusty machetes to go around. That can be pretty gruesome. You know, Randy, any final words before we close the show out?
Yeah, guys, great show. You know, I guess one of the things that I would say again is trust your gut. We knew we were right. If something smells, you know it smells. I look forward to Cash at FBI opening up the files. I look forward to Elon and to Vivek in opening up the government. And you know what? You know, the truth is we have 2 years now. We don't have a huge majority in the House, but we have 2 years to get it done. So, you know, I hope that the president and his people in the transition team are getting the best of us to go in and to get it done, because we really need to make a difference right now. Because the truth is Joe Biden in 4 years screwed us up. He took us back so far. Hopefully we can, hopefully – we can overcome those. But look, great show. Keep talking. I'm around. Love all this stuff. You know, let's have a good time doing it.
Well, we'll use your legal mind again. That's for sure. And to the audience, and wrapping up. So we've navigated through the tangled web of Hunter Biden's pardon. You know, as Randy said, there's some ethical legal issues here in terms of accountability, and obviously broken promises. The cast reports implications on transgender youth care and the ongoing legal battle in LW versus Scrimeti. That highlights the debates over the medical ethics and equal protection clause that we're having to deal with. So these discussions are just a reminder that in politics and in life, the personal will always intertwine with public policy, leaving us to ponder as conservatives where justice and protecting our citizens ends and the abuse of power begins. I believe this case is going to be decided on ideological lines. And thank God for Trump's Supreme Court picks for that. So thank you for tuning in. Stay safe and keep questioning. Trump got elected because the country started to finally question, even liberals. So a huge thank you to Randy Berholtz, our guest. I am William Del Pilar for G. Mangani. This is Fired Up. And until next time, we bid you adieu.